Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Just putting down on my booze. I'm so excited to be back in Edinburgh. The last time I was in Edinburgh, I went on your ghost tour to Mary King's Close, and it was great. There was a man in there, the tour guide, who was all dressed up like in olden days clothes, and he said, "Hello, I am from the 15th century Edinburgh. I know nothing of your time. Now please turn off your mobile phones." Just, to be honest, he didn't look like he was having his best day. But we're having our best day. Welcome to the show! We're so excited we get to do our comedy crime podcast for you now. Give us a cheer if you listen to the podcast. Yes, hello. Give us a cheer if you've never heard of us. Welcome, new people.
A few people abstained, welcome. But okay.
That's fine. New people, you are about to discover that Drunk Women Solving Crime is a true crime podcast with a twist.
Of lime!
It's a cult!
Welcome.
So my name is Katie Wilkins. I will be your host for this evening.
Just saying. Look at the woman.
So I've got the details from a case. None of these bitches do. But let me introduce the rest of my fantastic detective team. I have here Taylor Glenn.
Hello. Oh, it's so nice to see all of your beautiful faces. I mean, truth be told, I can't see fuck all. But benefit of the doubt. And I love being in Scotland. It's so nice to come back. I am never the drunkest person in the room. It's just terribly reassuring, so thank you. He knows what I'm talking about. I can see you. You're asleep. Joking.
And I also have the fantastic Hannah George. Hey!
I'm not drinking this evening for obvious reasons. It's kind of slightly unfortunate that it's called Drunk Women Solving Crime. You probably didn't expect a heavily pregnant woman to come waddling out on stage.
Don't worry about the drunk thing. We found that the hormones make you just as, like...
Oh, I'm crazy!
She's a little crazy. There's a reason why she's over there.
So, I kind of like mixed it. I'm crazy and horny, so...
It's a great combo. This would normally be the time in the show where we ask you, the audience, have a little think if you've got a crime up your sleeve all the time. You were the victim of a crime, I should say. And then, because what we do is at the end of the show, we get somebody up and you tell us your story and then you win. Well, actually, you win Carver. Ooh. But somebody has already written in. So today we have Kate and Beth will be joining us at the end of the show.
Let's just check it right here. Yay!
Oh, excellent! So if you want to tell us about the time you're the victim of a crime, come again, buy another ticket. Or send us an email, or write it in a review on Apple Podcasts, and say we're great.
Taylor actually used to be a therapist, so it might actually be helpful if you do have a traumatic
crime. I see some of my former patients, and you're doing great, and so am I.
Well, I think without further ado, we better get on with the show. Please give a very warm welcome to the fantastic comedian, writer, improviser, it's all round legend, Pippa Evans! Pippa!
Hey,
welcome!
Pippa. Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, I'm enjoying. This feels a bit like a school assembly, doesn't it? Like,
there's a bit of a vibe of it, yeah.
Yeah, but the fucking teachers are MILFs, am I right? Come on! Sorry, I'm crazy and horny.
Oh my god!
Sorry.
She's doing another show just called Crazy Horny Pregnant Lady Solves Crime.
This is like the assembly they'd have to do an assembly about. Kids, remember when Mrs. George went a bit crazy?
And horny. Yeah.
Anyway, Pippa, we have one question. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes, I have, actually, yes. I was a victim of sexual harassment.
Ooh.
And then I got cautioned by the police.
What? Oh, what? My God.
I know.
Look how we feign surprise.
No. So I spent 10 years on the circuit, the comedy circuit, that is. It's not that kind of show, but it's for you. I used to play this character called Loretta Main, who was an American singer-songwriter who just was quite a singy, aggressive character. And it was one Christmas, and I was doing the Christmas gigs, which any comedian knows are quite often horrific.
Oh, yes.
But they're very well paid, so that's why
they're
comedians
raucous
agree.
Bear pits, yes. That are very well paid.
They're awful. So I was at the Comedia Bath, right? Bath, hello, Bath. So you're thinking, Bath, it's going to be fine. We walked in, and there was a table of men vomiting into jugs.
Oh, wow.
At 6 o'clock, right? So 6 o'clock, the show started at 8:30. So we've already got people vomiting into jugs. People are being chucked out already. We're like, okay,
wow.
It's going to be fine. And I was headlining. So that of course, in real terms, means going on last. which on such an occasion is not the thrill that when you start, you're like, one day I'll be a headliner. Yeah. And then you get there and you go, oh, fuck. I was at a comedian and I walked out. And I don't like, you know, people say, oh, it's hard being a comedian as a woman, isn't it? It's hard. And I was like, no, it's fine. I never have a problem. But on this occasion, I walked out and there was a table of men who, as soon as I walked out, they all just folded their arms. And I was like, uh-oh. And I was like, don't read into it. It's going to be fine. So, anyway, I started my set, and the whole crowd was laughing and having a great time, apart from this table. They were very, very cross. And I thought I'll try to enamor them. She's American, so I was like, what do you do? And they were like, we're carpenters. So then I started singing a carpenter's song. Where I changed the words of "it's only just begun" to "there's only 10 more minutes," which I thought was hilarious, but turns out the Carpenters are not the favourite pop group of Carpenters. So I carried on, and then one of them yelled out, "Show us your fucking tits!" And I went, "What?" And I said, "What did you say?" And he went, "Show us your fucking tits." And so I saw red. I just saw red.
Yeah.
And I walked out. And at the Comedia Bath, it's a bit like here, actually, but with, like, long tables. And I just walked onto the table and stood above this guy and looked him in the eye and went, "What did you just fucking say?"
Oh, wow.
To me. And he went, he was on his phone, and he didn't even look up, and he went, show us your fucking teeth. Whoa. Oh. And I picked up a jug of beer and poured it on his head. Yeah. And the whole room went, whoa! And then security came, they dragged him away, right? They started dragging him away. So I turned around to walk back on the stage, and one of his friends picked up a pint of beer and threw it at me. Oh, wow. And I turned around and went, why did you fucking do that? And he said, because you're ruining Christmas. So I picked up a pint of beer and threw it at him.
Oh, my God. My God.
And then I went back to get on the stage, and a woman behind him turned around and went and tapped him and said something like, stop what you're doing. And she was like a proper bath, you know, a little cardigan. But he reacted to the tap instead of the voice and turned around and pushed this old bath lady.
No. Yeah.
She was sat next to her son.
No.
Stood up and went, oh, my God. Fucking touch my mum. Bam! Punched her in the face. Then they all stood up and threw the table. Wham! And it turned into a cowboy scene. There was glass. There was blood. Everyone got thrown out. These carpenters were just having a fight out in the street with themselves.
God.
It was wild. Anyway, then the police turned up. And the police said to me, well, because actually you threw the first physical blow by pouring the beer on his head, technically you're the one who's in the wrong.
Oh.
Yeah. And I said, are you telling me that I should be in my place of work and be sexually harassed while I'm on the stage? People should be allowed to shout things about my breasts. And he said, look, I can see that you're an intelligent woman. to know is the answer to this question. If it happened again, what would you do different? And I said, absolutely nothing. And yay! He went, that is the wrong answer. But he decided just to caution me and went on his way. But the gig was over. And I went back to my digs and drank quite a lot of white wine and fell asleep.
Oh. Woo! That is such a fucking amazing story. But I've got to say, so you were Loretta Main in character, right?
Yeah.
You can totally get away with this as being in character. She did it.
She did it.
Yeah, it's like if Lorraine Kelly punches someone, she can say, no, that was Lorraine Kelly. Because you know, like, Lorraine Kelly is the character Lorraine Kelly. I realise you have to know that for that to be really a well-observed joke. But
laugh or she'll get angry. But... it is the most country music story I've ever heard. Like, it's just so funny.
Oh, my God. It was an amazing night. And weirdly, after that, I didn't perform as Loretta Main for a while.
Oh, is that seriously why you...
It started the end because it was just it was quite intense, guys. There's more. They tried to sue the comedian ruining Christmas. And then one of them sent me a message on social media, social media, saying, you've ruined your career. And it was such a weird sort of threat, really. Because I was like, what do you mean? Why would that?
Yeah, how are the carpenters going to take you down? Yeah. The fuck?
And don't you have an Olivier Award? I feel like you do.
Oh, I do have an Olivier Award. Yeah, well, I don't. Like,
it's been okay.
Did you message him back with a picture of your Olivia Award?
I'll dig it out now, 10 years later.
Could you build a sort of casket for this? Or something?
Oh, imagine if it really were illegal to ruin Christmas, though. That'd be great. It'd be like, Uncle Bob, you've been served. Keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah, maybe if you don't want to ruin Christmas, don't fucking shout sexually explicit things in a place of business. And a comedy club.
If you had gotten your fucking tits out, would that have started Christmas?
Well,
like, did the jingle bells just go and the nipples come out for these guys?
I was talking to some people about what is the best reaction if someone shouts. Because, I mean, and people go, like, does that happen a lot? Very rarely. That's why it's such a shock.
It happened to me
at the
comedy store.
Did it?
Well, it's happened to me. Look at my tits.
It was the Gong Show. And someone shouted, I was doing the Gong Show for a start. So
awful.
It was my fault. But someone shouted, get your tits out. And I paused and then I went, Uncle Joe? So it like got me an extra 10 seconds before I then did get gonged off because I was a new comedian.
No one has ever asked to see my tits. Ever. They're bigger now if anyone's interested.
Until now. Positivity, sexual harassment over here.
I think the best I think the best reaction would actually be to start to cry and slowly get your tits out.
So it's the least sexy getting your tits out you've ever seen in your life. Just.
Tell me you like me now.
That's amazing. Oh my God.
So what do you do for a living? Yeah, are you a couple? Yeah. Where do you live?
That would be great. You know
you're
what?
You're punching, mate. You're punching.
We always ask, well, if you had the perpetrator in a police cell now, what would you say or do to them? Is this, would that be a good revenge? Or do you have...
What would be my revenge? That's such a...
Yeah, that's not really revenge, is it?
I would make them build me a cabinet while I punch them repeatedly in the balls.
Ah. See how you like it?
Yeah. That's going to be a shonky cabinet. I mean, I don't know a lot about carpentry, but I feel like...
They'd be like, the joke's on you. Yeah. Those joints aren't going to be very good.
Yeah. Yes, I like that.
We use balsa wood.
Yeah. Little carpenter's joke there. That is unbelievable. Thank you for sharing that. I feel like we're all better people now.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Well... I thought that compliment was going to go on longer.
So. Oh, I'm sorry. And I really like your top. I like how we're all wearing like regulation white trainers. Whoa. What is this?
When did they become regulation white trainer? What happened? Because they're a terrible choice, really, aren't they? Especially in Edinburgh.
The thing is, as well, I only brought these with me and a pair of flip flops. And
what?
So,
how many years have you been doing the festival?
Well, the thing, I always bring too much stuff.
So you thought the first thing you'll do is not bring enough shoes?
Last time there was a heat wave, so I might still need those. But I can't
They're great on hills.
I can't even switch it up. They're not real flip flops. They're like sandals. I can't wear. Look, I'm going to talk about true crime in a minute. Actually, I'll talk about true crime now. I don't think anyone needs to hear any more about my shoes. Right. Strap in for a true crime case. Now, as I say, I'm the one with the details. My esteemed colleagues do not know what we're going to be discussing. They and you are going to work it out together. But only shout out if you've got a really clever thing to say. Expect high things.
That does not go for us, don't worry.
Now, I don't want to set out the stall too early, too racy, which is the name of my sex tape. But today we're going to be discussing a case that's been called the Supreme Court's most versatile and influential trademark decision. So,
whoa! Woo-hoo. If you guys weren't horny before.
Yeah, guys, that serves as a trigger warning. So if anybody has been involved in any landmark trademark casements.
Okay, so, you know.
I've been drinking.
Probably no murders are going to take place. Or will they? You know, I don't know. So now, let me take you back to a simpler time. A time when cereal for breakfast wasn't really a thing. Let me take you back to the very day that somebody invented shredded wheat.
Wow. Whoa. What a great day for cricket. It was a shredded wheat always makes me think of Ian Botham. Do you remember? Didn't he used to have three? And that was, everyone was like, Ian Botham, he eats three shredded wheat.
Was that an advert?
Or was it Weetabix? No, it was shredded wheat, because no one wants shredded wheat. Like, it's the ultimate awful cereal.
Oh, wow. Keep that in mind.
And now Ian Botham, I don't know if you watch as much daytime TV as this one, but he now does an advert for, it's like you put your feet on it and your sort of feet vibrate. And he's like, I don't know what I do without my... And I don't know what it's called. But it's for circulation or something. Like, he doesn't play as much cricket, I guess.
Oh, Ian.
All right, gotta
my
say...
My blood vessel burster.
Ooh. Ian Botham is not going to be much help in this case.
Okay.
But I have two questions for you now.
Okay.
What year do we think this is? And can you name me who invented shredded wheat?
Oh, my life.
Ian Botham.
It must have been like the 30s or something. No, yeah. It must have been
right, we go
like
1930s?
Early. Shredded wheat, yeah.
Yay!
Now, you're not suggesting this was the very first cereal. It was just one of the first cereals.
One of the first. This is the very first shredded wheat cereal.
The very first shredded wheat.
Yeah. Well, maybe it would be like industrial times then. You know, like people going to work, so they need a quick snack.
Yeah,
a quick snack that looks like hay.
Yeah. So are you sticking with 1930s?
Well, now I want to say 1897.
I think you're spot
1897,
on with, like,
okay.
1897.
Any changed. Advance, you guys?
See, the thing is, Katie,
yeah.
Shredded wheat is a uniquely made product.
Yeah.
So they had to have the manufacturing capability. Uh-huh. And I feel like that might be certainly post-industrial revolution, but
okay,
on
lovely.
Which stretch of it, who knows? I'm going to say 1902.
1902, okay.
Well, I was going to say like 1547. I feel like that's wrong all of a sudden.
Okay, you know what? Pippa is the closest with her second guess. It is 1893.
Wow.
Well done. Very well
done. And I thought one of you might guess Kellogg's, but it was not invented by Kellogg's.
It's Nestle.
But Nabisco?
That's coming up too. Don't worry. We have drama all with right. biscuit companies.
I didn't know Ian Botham was that old.
So it was Henry...
I mean, also, if you're new to this podcast, this says everything about it, that we do an episode about cereal, but it's not a killer. Like, welcome to Cozy Crime.
Yes. Now, it was invented by Henry Perkey.
Henry. Well, how disappointing that Henry Perkey invented shredded wheat. Like, it's not really in the name, is it?
No.
Perkey. Henry Perkey.
He could have done
He should
so
have been
more.
Lucky Charms or something, shouldn't he?
He was like the Joe Wicks of his day. He's a little... Right, so basically, he's made this pillow-shaped cereal. He calls it shredded whole wheat. And then he'd started the Natural Food Company. He built a factory at Niagara Falls. He started in Boston. He was up to loads of, like, he does all this stuff, like, something to do with electricity. He's got all these other careers, but we don't have to care about them for
Why
this
Why Niagara Falls? Why do you go, like, I've got this cereal, and I think the best place to manufacture...
Because when married there. People make love for the first time, they're out of energy and they want to do it again. That's why there's shredded wheat.
Oh my God, do you know what? Your next question was...
Can't believe what? That was in any way relevant.
Your next question was, do you want to guess one of the early taglines for shredded wheat?
That's mine, guys.
Did you say, like, married people get married because people go there on honeymoon to Niagara Falls?
People get married in Niagara Falls. So it's a quick old tie the knot place.
I always remember I went there, like, quite shortly after a breakup, and I was on my own, and I sat in a heart-shaped jacuzzi on my own.
Oh.
Now that's not happy marriages here.
Didn't Superman, in Superman 3, doesn't that start in Niagara Falls, and his glasses fall into a fire? And it's only at that point Lois Lane goes, wait a minute.
Wait a minute, there's more to this guy than meets the eye.
By the way, I'm a top journalist.
So, no more ideas?
wholesome... That's it.
Shredded wheat. Shredded wheat. It's like you've taken all the legs off a daddy long legs and stuck them together.
Nice.
Four shits a day or your money back.
Shredded wheat. Lost a tile off your house? Don't worry, we got you.
That's great.
I'm just thinking about the jacuzzi.
All right. What he did was he said, it's all in the shreds. That was, I think yours are better.
Okay.
It's all in the shred.
Wow, they didn't have any women in that room, did they? Workshop in that. It's a shame.
Sounds like a TikTok, doesn't it? It's all in the shred. Mm. And then there'd be like a dad and a family dancing and be cute. It's out of the shred. It's out of the shred.
All in the shred.
I'm Perky.
But not
this is why I'm not on TikTok.
We just went viral. It's amazing.
So he was super into the idea of healthy food.
Okay.
It's like this whole movement at the time, they were trying to get like...
4 shits a day.
Yeah. Mm. Basically, he loved that it was whole kernels, that was meant it was healthy. So these kernels get steamed, they get pressed through two rollers, one of which had grooves, and then it's all cut into like the biscuits and then they were toasted.
Is this going to be
any of you expect this?
You're all going to have to sign an NDA to not disclose the recipe for shredded wheat, by the way. It's part of the privilege. Thank you for coming.
He thought that they tasted good, so he gave some samples to his mates, and they liked them. And he was like, right, bang, I'm Joe Wicks. I'm going to have got my shredded wheat recipe. I'm going to sell this. So he gets that he patents it. And he just wants to start selling it. So this healthy food movement is trying to introduce like ready-to-eat cereal to Americans, all of them. And Perky is like, lads, I know just how to market this. So my question now is, what is his marketing strategy, or what did he say the biscuits did?
I want to just ask a question, though. This is 1893, right?
Yeah.
So he's already trying to get Americans to be healthy. Like, what?
How did we go so wrong?
What were you guys eating? Like, what the fuck? Like, this is crazy. How could already be, like, guys, we've got to do something about these guys. It's a mess. Was McDonald's 1873 or something?
No. 1970 something, isn't it?
Oh my God,
they just
Ronald McDonald was a 2-year-old clown.
Sorry, you can order it by wagon.
Drunk women solving crime. Hello from Edinburgh, Scotland, where we are on the last night of our Edinburgh Fringe run. I'm doing this voice because I can't do a Scottish accent. It's time to shout out our latest supporters on Patreon. Thank you so much. We've got Nora, Nancy Ross, Alexandra, Morris Hornby. Excellent hyphenated name there, Alexandra. Bram Welch, the legendary Bram. Hi, Bram. Bram was at one of our live shows. We got a little obsessed. Hi, Bram. Alicia Ely, and finally, Lauren McGowan. Thank you so much. If you would like to join Patreon, we're at patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. And look forward to all 10 of our Edinburgh Fringe shows live from the land of the Scots.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He said that it restored his health.
Right. He did the personal story. He did the Instagram.
Yes.
He did the, I used to be really unwell.
Yeah.
And then I ate a load of whole wheat and now I'm better.
Yeah.
How unwell was he, though? Because, 1850 or whenever this is.
1893.
She's not been drinking.
But I feel like in 1893, the illnesses are fucking you get it and you die.
Yeah.
So, did he have cholera and go, ooh, I'm better? Or did he just feel a little bit lethargic? Was he a bit... Did he need some iron?
I don't know what he had that shredded wheat was able to cure him. Mm.
You see, this is the thing. That's why it's a bad tagline. Because you're oh, my God, it cured me of being hungry. that's not fucking...
But at the time, they didn't have any regulations, did they? So you could actually have said, I had cholera and it fixed it. Yes. No one would have been there going, wait a minute, I don't believe you. Because there was all of those fake things, weren't there? So he could...
Well,
what was his
you're
line?
Right. Well, he's kind of got Goop vibes of this made me healthier, it restored my health.
Oh, the Gwyneth Paltrow
but
he this did, time.
Yeah, but there was this whole movement, mind you, there's probably a whole movement behind her.
It's all in the vagina.
It's all, yeah. But so he did this big launch at the World's Fair in Chicago in 1893, and we've done so many cases that involve the World's Fair in Chicago.
Yeah.
So I actually quite love the idea that he's there selling shredded wheat to Chicago May and all the other criminals that were definitely at this thing.
John Capone, you look constipated. I've got just the thing.
I tell you, I don't know if Al Capone was there, but John Harvey Kellogg is there.
Oh, shit.
Yes. It's a real who's who of who is anyone in 1893. Now, John Harvey Kellogg tries one of these wheat biscuits. Question, what does he say about this newfangled shredded wheat?
He's like, I've already got cornflakes, but I guess I'll give these a go. Looks pretty amateurish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. He would. Yeah, he'd just be like, yeah, it's not, it's all right.
Sorry. Oh my God, he's negging him.
Yeah, he would 100% be negging him. Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. Be like, oh, all yeah. Right. Sorry, what was your name? No, really nice to meet you. I'm Kellogg.
Yeah. That'll never be on the bus. He goes further than negging him. He said it was like eating a whisk broom.
And he wasn't wrong.
That
should have been their tagline.
It is a solid burn.
And let's think, who do we know now?
Do we know Henry Perky or do we know Mr. Kellogg?
Wow. Mm. Exactly.
Yeah. Also, just for the record, talking about Americans being unhealthy, shredded wheat is so nostalgic for me because my grandmother ate it every day, but the way she ate it was slathered in butter.
What, butter and milk?
No, milk.
Like a crumpet.
And I defy you to not like it. Like, I honestly tried it. It's so delicious. But I just love it. She undid any good it might have been doing on the fiber front with the sack fat.
Oh. So just have love a cracker. Grandma. Why are you putting butter on shredded wheat?
Oh, no, it's so much better.
Really?
And it's a challenge because it falls down and the butter makes it stick. Oh, my memories of grandma. She's just like plastered. And little bits of straw. She's like, come here, give me a kiss.
Oh my God. Okay, look, there are food critics at the World's Fair in Chicago as well. They called it a shredded doormat.
Whoa.
Everyone is burning him. Scorched earth. But the product took off anyway. And my theory is that no one expects healthy food to taste nice.
Oh, okay. So they weren't bothered.
No one cared that it was disgusting. It was a runaway surprise hit.
Okay.
Like, they sold shitloads of shredded wheat. It was a huge success. Now, I said that there was no murder, probably. I never promised you no death. Henry Perky died in 1908 of not eating enough shredded wheat. His company, The Natural Food Company, gets a new name. Do you guys want to guess what they rebrand themselves as?
Kellogg's.
Did people already say it, though? I feel like I hate getting the right answer, but is it Nestle?
No.
They probably buy it, don't they? Because it's probably owned by Unilever or some bollocks, isn't it?
No, these are great guesses.
Female also, workplace.
Yeah. Before you know it, we'll have Tesla Crunch. That's where we're all headed.
So they rename it.
Muscles.
Oh, no. Who's going to eat that?
Designed after my asshole.
Okay. Fragility.
Is it called Wheat Fun? Wheat Fun. From Wheat Fun. Like, and then they just make wheat-based products.
See, do you know, that is the closest.
Wheat Fun.
But what they called it the Shredded Wheat Company. They went all in on shredded wheat. They were like, that's the big one.
I'm down with that because I think a lot of companies, they make one really good product and then they're like, we have to diversify.
Yeah.
And actually they shouldn't. Like, did you ever try coconut Rolos? What the fuck are you doing, guys? What is wrong with Rolos? They're
really?
Amazing.
They
tried to put coconut in Rolos.
Oh,
I was like, guys,
boy.
What are you doing? We've got Bounty bars, we've got Rolos. We don't need the two to meet.
Interesting. Yeah, you never hear about coconut Rolos, do you?
You don't. No.
But I will say, there was a time when Twiglets did have a limited edition Worcester flavor. Yes.
There's a fan in.
Why? Why did they go away? Carry on.
And it's the kind of thing you can't even buy a load and save it because it's going to have a sell-by date. Oh. I try. No. Yeah, right. Now,
first
Henry Perky has two patents. One of them is shredded wheat biscuits and one of them is the machinery
dildos.
That made them...
Did you say dildos? Yeah, that's an unpleasant dildo,
wheat-based dildos.
I would like...
Don't mix up the shredded wheat factory with the dildo factory.
He really was Perky.
Yeah, that was the real reason for the perkiness. Now, I would like...
Scratchy for her pleasure.
See, sorry. We can... It's not like a gruesome crime, but we can still give you the ick.
That's what I'm here for.
I would like only Hannah to guess what year those patents expired.
It wasn't bloody 1912, was it?
It was!
Yes!
Wow! Now, everyone, you're allowed to answer this one.
Also, just for people, like most people don't know about the podcast, in 1912, I'm obsessed with the Titanic, and I always say 1912. And that's why I'm having a baby, because I'm literally women and children first. So if any Titanic shit goes down, I get on the lifeboat, so it's exciting.
Question, what did the Kellogg Company do next?
Oh.
Wait, what's going on?
So the patents have expired.
Is it patent or patent?
I don't know.
Right, okay.
North Americans say patent.
Patent.
But I get made fun of a whole lot for all sorts of things.
Patent.
All right, I just started Traders Australia today in our little student accommodation. That's right, we're doing pretty well. And they're like, Traders? Like, they're trading things? You guys didn't understand me. Anyway, I'm saying things out loud that shouldn't be said.
It was a query.
Okay.
Genuine query.
All right, cheer if it's patent. Ooh, cheer exactly. if it's patent. All right.
It's cheer if you don't care.
All right. Well, the funny thing is our biggest fan gave the biggest cheer. Like, that's harsh.
All right. Okay. Now, they start making a similar cereal.
Oh, and we of course
have
they do.
A whole bunch of drama with some messy bitches. So the Shredded Wheat Company, remember that's his company, yeah. they rebranded. They are like, not cool, please desist immediately. And so Kellogg's stopped manufacturing for a little bit. But in 1919, there's this unknown settlement, fine. And then they start up again in 1927. Basically, there's a whole bunch of lawsuits going back and forth.
Oh, no.
And then the Shredded Wheat Company is acquired by the National Biscuit Company, which later became...
Nabisco!
Yeah!
Do that again.
You know what?
Sorry.
Our American listeners are really going to appreciate that. So it's not all about this live performance. It's about our listeners around the world. Nabisco. I'm so off key. I'm doing like the minor key, like I'm about to kill you. Nabisco. Ding.
What is that?
What is it?
What's Nabisco the, what's... is the company, and that's their that was their but little
the,
jingle.
What are the words you're saying? Nabisco.
And then there's a ding.
Oh, it's a ding. Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I thought it was like Nabisco Day. Nabisco Day. And I was like, what's Nabisco Day? Some kind of American celebration.
It's like nobody understands we me don't in this eat, country.
We don't eat biscuits on Nabisco Day.
Get your fucking tits out.
Okay.
Okay, back to cereal.
All right, so... Old Kellogg's really changed his tune on what he thinks a whisk broom is.
Oh, wow.
The hypocrite. Okay. So they're making, they're back to their old tricks. They're making these shredded wheats again. And then the National Biscuit Company sued them again in 1930. They sued them in Canada and the United States.
We sued you. And
their argument is that the new shredded wheat by Kellogg's was a trademark. Oh, wait, hang on.
What?
Yeah. No, they said it was a trademark violation and unfair competition.
Right.
Oh, my God. Isn't the world such a fucking mess? But this is why the world is a mess, that people yeah. spend their, like, that people put their attention
yeah.
on who is making similar wheat-based yeah. cereals, and they spend their money trying to stop other people making a wheat-based yeah. cereal that's slightly similar to your wheat-based cereal. Yeah. And it's really, really depressing.
It is a little depressing.
I feel like Lidl
What's
would
your
be
favorite?
Fun.
Cereal.
Yeah, Lidl is getting away with some stuff, aren't they? Like Lidl is getting
prongles.
Away with stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Corn flonks.
I always get like malted Wheaties, I think they're called, which is kind of your shreddies.
Like yeah.
And this, I bought shreddies this time from, because we only had Co-op near us. And like, it was just like, incredible the difference. Like, shreddies are fucking amazing. And I'd been eating malted Wheaties thinking that my life was going somewhere. Like, when you go back to the OG. Oh,
when you go proper branded. Yeah.
Oh.
What's that program with Greg Wallace and the other guy where they go into people's houses and they go, and they're like, oh, you spend too much money on branded things. So we're going to put everything into jugs and jars and it won't have a label on it. And then you're going to eat it and you'll be like, oh, I don't know the difference, and I'm going to save you £10.13 on your shopping every week. And then every single time they're like, no, that's not it. That's not it. Go branded, that's what I say. I'm all about the brands. Dorothy Perkins, New Look, all the brands.
I'm going to start a new brand just called Capitalism. Everything. What cereal do you like?
Yeah.
Capitalism.
Who's going to stop you?
Where'd you get your shoes? Capitalism.
Can see that working. All right, now by this point Kellogg's are like, ugh, this is so unfair, because Kellogg viewed the suit as an attempt on National Biscuit Company's part to monopolize the shredded wheat market, which I would say sort of seems fair enough seeing as they also invented the shredded wheat market. But in 1938 this case goes before the Supreme Court.
Oh my God.
Question, what did the Supreme Court say?
Get out. Stop wasting our time.
Yeah, this just kiss each other. Fuck's sake.
Well, I can now reveal That's not what they said.
Aww, because they weren't busy. So they said, well, all right, we'll do it.
They had plenty of time to talk shit about cereal. There was a 7-2 verdict, and they rejected Nabisco's argument and ruled in favour of Kellogg's.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, you're right. This is shocking. On the grounds that the term shredded wheat was not trademarkable and its pillow shape was functional and therefore able to be copied after the patent expired.
Some of America's finest minds.
I know.
Shocking. Shocking.
Cutting edge engineering. What have you made? Pillow shaped cereal. With no flavor.
Put butter on it, it'll be fine.
You add butter.
The pillow shape is functional. What does that mean? Because it has it only works if it's in that structure. That's what they mean.
Yeah,
you must be in very nice accommodation here if you are not sleeping on shredded wheat. Because we certainly are. We cannot afford real pillows.
I'm in my own home because I live here. So yes, it is very nice.
Yeah. Nice pillows, yeah.
Get your pillows out.
John Lewis, 100% down.
Mm. Ooh,
yeah, that's right. I tell you what, I'll WhatsApp you a picture of the mayo.
Do it. I love bedding.
Do you?
I really do. Just when you thought it couldn't get more titillating. We're about to talk fucking thread count. Because it will blow. People actually gasped.
Oh, 800 per square inch. Fuck me on those sheets.
Okay.
All right. I'll quickly wrap up the exciting case.
Look how big the glasses are. I don't know how much I'm pouring at all.
All right. Now, remember at the beginning I said this case was the Supreme Court's most versatile and influential trademark decision?
Yes.
I remember that bit of foreplay. Yes.
Versatile. That's interesting because they use it for everything.
Well, yeah. So basically,
waffles. We need to be paid by like 18 companies by the time we release this. Go. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Female workplace. So the reason that the Supreme Court even, because you were like, yeah, the Supreme Court would have been like, go fuck off, mate. We're busy, but they weren't because they needed to do this because. The trademark law was in a state of flux in 1938.
Wow.
It was lost.
Saturday night. Da, 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 da. Yeah, 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 yeah. It is trademarked.
Exactly.
I must reach for your drink. That's great.
Okay.
That's great.
But so there was lots of confusion, and they needed to explicitly codify the Kellogg decision into law as part of the Lenham Act. I don't think I need to tell you anymore, because that's pretty self-explanatory. But so the Kellogg's case is a foundation of the functionality doctrine.
Wow. Goodness.
You know
me.
When you joked this was an assembly?
Yeah. Product designs are intrinsic to functionality. Cannot be protected under unfair trade, competition, or trademark laws. Because game changing. That would impede the ability of competitors to make a rival product. But let's raise a glass to Henry Perky and his dry, dry invention.
Oh, hey! Henry Perky.
I feel like I'm a guest on The Rest is History.
But it's it's Colin the Caterpillar. That would be the most recent one, yeah.
Yeah. What are the names of all the other ones? There's, you know,
Ballin the Batterpillar from Little.
But they don't pretend they're not caterpillars, do they? Part of the case was about the fact they were all named, I think. So it was the fact that they were all like, Henry the Caterpillar, John the Caterpillar. And it's like, this is exactly the same idea. Like, no, it's not! Our own original caterpillar idea, actually. It's literally a chocolate log. And also, I think Colin the Caterpillar is the worst cake in the world, and I don't understand why it's constantly
going. She is 100% right.
No.
Thank you!
Wait, oh my God, it's like eating sugary wax.
Explain yourselves.
Because I just did.
This is a cake that's brought into offices, pies, blah, blah, blah. You have to cut it up to give it away. The chocolate crackles off, chocolate falls everywhere. You get those bits of chocolate,
I'm hearing extra chocolate, continue.
And you get that smear of chocolate that you forgot about and you worry about what the hell is that? And it's not tasty. I think a chocolate Swiss roll is the worst chocolate cake in the world. It doesn't taste of chocolate.
Oh, not if it's homemade, Pippa.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. Well, look.
Wow. It got controversial.
Now,
and I know we're all feeling a bit upset. There's people at the back going, wow, we took a punt on the artwork. Not sure this is what I was expecting at all. But
well,
thanks for staying.
You said you didn't like it, Taylor.
Oh, I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Because
you
think it's way too sweet. The cake is dry.
Right.
And the outer layer is like a candle. Like a diabetic candle. Like it's just...
M&S, if you are listening, we will take sponsorship though for because I quite like them, so I'll do the ad. That's fine.
Yeah, I quite like them.
Yeah, me and Kate, we'll take the money.
When we're chucking like Taylor out,
this
we
is
have
not
to have a lot
just
of cake.
A caterpillar
in a secret.
This is an oversweetened
party.
Caterpillar.
All right, I think this is probably the best time to get Kate and Beth
up. Give a round of applause.
Come and tell us about your crime. What happened to you? Where are you? Oh, here they come.
Hello. Oh, you're both coming. This is exciting. We've never had a double story.
Yeah.
Hello, Kate and or Beth.
This is Beth.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Tell us about your crime. What happened?
We got robbed.
Oh.
So thank you for coming.
So we lived together for 8 years in London, survived lockdown. Kate then decides she's going to move to Edinburgh to live with her boyfriend.
Oh, Kate.
Yeah. So I'm already heartbroken. And we decide on her last weekend to do a tour of every flat we've lived in London.
Oh, you guys.
It sounds sweet, but it's also like the rental market in London is fucked. If like across 8 years you had to visit 16 different flats.
Yeah, that's true.
So now, did you tell people you're coming? You're just like, we have to live here. She's moving.
So we'll go to every flat. At every flat, we'll have a drink. We take a selfie outside. We share our favourite memory of living in the flat.
Oh, you guys. Yeah. You're so codependent.
Adorable.
It's very sweet.
We get back to the current flat we live in. Obviously, you know, we're, what, 5 flats in now? So we've had a few drinks. We get to the flat, we're outside taking the selfie. Little do we know what's gone on inside. Oh. So we go upstairs. I really need the toilet.
So. You're speaking my language.
I run in. I'm on the toilet. Kate's like, I go into my bedroom and I'm like, that bag wasn't there when I came in, but when I left, So I'm like, why is my bag now in my bed? Wasn't in my bed.
Oh.
I go to the toilet. Kate is then like, why is the TV knocked over? Why is that IKEA bag on the floor?
Always a good question to ask.
I'm having a wee. I'll be back in a minute. And then she's like, we've been robbed. So then we discover we have been robbed.
Oh, man.
They've taken the Dyson, two laptops. Although work laptops, so...
They've taken only like controversial.
The Dyson hair straighteners.
No.
Oh, my God. Worst of all... We had been given my brother's PlayStation during lockdown, which I can only say got us through.
Oh. Yeah.
And they took the PlayStation.
Oh, no.
And the pink controller.
They took the pink controller.
Gone.
Outrageous.
And we discovered, this is gone. 5 minutes later, this is gone. I look in front of me, I'm like, why is that cupboard door open? The worst. They've taken all our bags for life to continue the other 14 robberies that they did that night.
Oh, my God.
So we've assisted the robbery.
What, so if you know they did that many robberies, does that mean they got caught at the end of their spree?
No, that was just the policeman being like, you're just one of 14. Get over it.
Wow. Oh, really?
Wow. Essentially, yeah.
I tell you what, if you've never lived in London, give it a whirl. Wow, so we need to solve this, you guys. This is a serious...
Yeah.
How sad, because you're on the... It's hard enough to say goodbye. You go on this nostalgic tour, and you come back to tragedy.
To be honest, we now describe it as one of the best days ever, because it's given us so much giggles.
I love that. I love just like, we just have a giggle about it now. That's nice. That's
turned it into a positive. I like that. That's nice.
Yeah, that's a really nice recap.
Do you have any suspects? Any other flatmates?
We have three suspects.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay.
Hello.
Do tell.
Okay, suspect number one, Lambert. The 65-year-old nosy neighbour who's always at his window across the road.
He sounds like he's out of a sitcom. Lambert!
I accidentally befriended him during lockdown and then kind of couldn't get rid of him after that.
Lambert.
I think, who'll have seen the robbery? Lambert. Go over the road. Oh, sorry, I wasn't at my window.
Oh, Lambert.
Why wasn't he at his window? And he also had quite a few... you know, reasons of how they could have got in, or they could have got in this way, they could have got in that way.
Oh, so we thought about it.
Was this you?
Yeah.
Lambert is not at all the criminal here. There's no way.
Come on, a 65-year-old man loves bags for life. 100%.
Well, you do have a point. I feel like if anything, he's beating himself up. He's like, I should have looked after those girls.
They're my best friends, but I'm constipated because I don't eat shredded wheat and...
Okay. Suspect number two was Graham, who I sold my wardrobe to because I was moving out on Gumtree, but came on his own, so needed help taking it downstairs, so like had to come and look in the flat to take the wardrobe.
Okay.
So I thought, he's been in my flat, he's seen what's on offer.
Yeah.
Has he come back?
He hasn't got a PlayStation.
Yeah, okay.
And then suspect number three was Seth, the letting agent, who was always slightly dodgy. And we wanted to sell some of the furniture.
I thought she said the Latin agent, and I was like, ooh. I need one of those.
We wanted to sell some of the furniture that we had to the people moving in, so we sent him a video, quite a close-up of the TV, which included the PlayStation. Here's the speaker, here's this.
But, like, letting agents in London are notoriously good men. So I don't think it can possibly be said.
It's true.
Yeah, those are our suspects.
Now, not to blame the victim, but I have a question for you guys. You lived in all these other flats. How good were you to your other roommates?
Well, they didn't survive. They all got let off as the years went on, so we weren't that good.
They all moved on?
Yeah.
When you say they didn't survive.
They all survived. Interesting choice of words, isn't it?
There's a bigger crime afoot.
Because they look innocent, don't they? They look adorable.
What, so you think it was one of the other flatmates?
I think there might have been someone a little bit jealous of the connection you two share.
Oh, is there a gooseberry? Is there like a third friend?
I think there was
a third wheel. It's Taylor, by the way, in this.
By the way, you owe me some rent, so you guys used all of those Dyson straighteners and the electricity doesn't pay itself.
How did they get in?
Oh, so they literally... Well, so we called an we did panic. We called an emergency locksmith, come and change the locks. He came and he literally went, he shut the door, folded a piece of paper in half, went like that, and then it. It wasn't hard.
So he used a piece of paper to jimmy
yeah,
the lock.
Yeah, it was a cheap lock. Yeah.
It wasn't even a credit card like in the movie. No, it was a piece of A4.
It was a piece of paper.
Just blow on it, it'll open. Name of my sex tape.
All right. Who are we going to blame it on? Because we got to wrap this up.
Ooh,
I mean,
yes.
We've got to give them their prize.
Well, I think... what was the last one? Seth.
Yeah.
Seth. I'm just anybody called
That's
Seth.
That's what the real police do.
Yeah, it's Seth. Fuck it.
Thank you so good much for sharing that story. You'll have to split it. Wait. How did that relationship turn out with the guy in Edinburgh?
Oh, she's still
here. Oh!
It was him.
Together.
It was Seth.
It's true love.
Oh.
Right. Wow.
The real fun was the love we found along the way.
We have just enough time. Pepper, Jesus.
Pepper wow. Evans, what are you doing here at the festival?
Pepper Evans, what are you up to? Where can we hear more about you?
Where can you hear? I'm doing Showstopper, the improvised musical, at 9:10 every night at the Grand in the Pleasance.
The Grand.
So do come along if you like improvised musicals, or if you don't like musicals, people also seem to enjoy it. And you probably find me on Twitter. I am Pippa Evans.
It's joyful. You're the master of improv.
Oh, yes. I wrote a book. You should tell people about that.
Yeah, well, so... Pippa Pepper
Evans has written a book, Improv Your Life. And I listened to it during lockdown, and it's awesome. It's so funny, and it's all about all these different things that you can do, how you can use improv in your real life,
Your real one.
To make it better. Just like, just a real, like a positive, just a real antidote to all the self-help crap that's out there, because it's not a self-help book. Wow, it's a really funny, interesting exploration of improv, and it's just great.
Thank you for that endorsement.
Sponsored by Shredded Wheat.
4 shits a day.
Well, all right, so we're going to come and see Showstoppers, and this is the end of our show. Thank you so much for coming out to see Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, guys. You're lovely.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye!
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.